Brilliant. Good morning. How you doing, Life Church? Feeling good? High five the person next to you. Tell them, I've never seen you look this good. I've never seen you look this good. It must be Christmas. I've never seen you look this good. All right. Ever looked in the mirror and thought, this is a faith statement. I've never seen you look this good. But so cool to be together today. And I wasn't here last Sunday morning. I was at Brisbane South. And I missed everyone. Seriously, I missed your beautiful faces. I missed not being here. I was texting our team and I was like, tell me what's happening. And they weren't texting me back for a while. Then occasionally I'd get a random photo or something and an update. And I heard it was a great Sunday last Sunday. Yeah. With Pastor Jeff. We love our lead pastors, Pastor Jeff and Lee, and they send their love today. And if you're here today for the first time at Life, we just want to say a massive welcome. Sit back, relax. There is a free coffee on your seat. It's not an actual coffee. Okay, it looks like that though. And so if you want to text that number, the coffee will be waiting for you afterwards. You're not going to find better coffee anywhere on the planet than you will here at Life Church. Who thinks that's true with our coffee team? Why don't we give it up for our coffee team? So good and so excited. Who's excited about Christmas? Come on, who's excited about Christmas? Do we have any Scrooges here? Oh, there's a Scrooge at the back. All right, someone's put their hand up. I'm not going to embarrass Dale and say who it was, but I love Christmas. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love the whole thing. I love the carols. We went to a carols event last night. I just can't get enough of it. I'm waiting until, you know, December begins so we can put up the Christmas tree. And so on November 30, we put up the Christmas tree, which was a little bit ahead of time. Anyone put it up before November? Anyone have up their Christmas tree before? Oh, some hands. I'm thinking about going up at the back there. And so I just love Christmas. I love all of it. The one thing I don't enjoy as much is putting up Christmas lights. Can anyone relate to that pain? A couple of weeks ago, I was out with the kids. We were putting Christmas lights up on the back, on the deck outside. And it was one of those stinkers like yesterday. It was just one of those stinking hot days. And I had to like loop these Christmas lights through, and I had like 20 of these loops to do. And it took us about maybe 10 minutes because it was kind of complicated to do one loop. And after the one loop, my son Israel sat down and said, oh, so glad we're finished. Time for an ice cream. And I said, buddy, that's one of 20. We've got 19 more of those to go. And you should have seen the look on his face. Like, it was like he was mortified. Anyway. And so well, that was fun. But I just love Christmas. And, you know, at Christmas, it's such an incredible opportunity, isn't it? Because it's one of the moments in the year, in the calendar year, where as a culture and as a society, we still stop and we recognize the significance of Jesus' birth. You know, and it is, you know, for us, if you're following Jesus, you know that that's not just a random thing or just a nice story, but that Jesus, you know, the message of Christmas is that God is actually with us. And I believe Pastor Jeff kicked this series off last week, God with us, that at Christmas time, we take a moment to stop and recognize how significant Christmas is, because it's a reminder that God is with us. God is with you, friend. And at Christmas, it's a celebration. It's way more than just about hanging with the family or presents, or all those things are great, but it's a moment to stop and recognize that God is with us. And so if you have a Bible with you, you can open with me to the book of Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, it's all good. You can download one on your phone. If you don't have a phone, you can look on the screen. Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a phone, our Next Steps team will give you a phone after the service. All right. I can't guarantee that's going to happen. Okay, Mark chapter 4, Mark 4, 35. We're going to read this passage. It says, that day when evening came, he, this being Jesus, said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. In verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I love the detail in the Bible, right? He was on a cushion. Okay. And the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And verse 39, he got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. The wind died down. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Verse 41, they were terrified or they were in awe and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Even the wind and the waves obey him. And if you're taking notes and you like to write a title on the top of your message, if that helps you, okay, I know it helps me. You can write down, this message really simple today. Just call God with us, God with us. And we're going to take a moment to pray before we dive in and we explore some of what we've just read. God, we thank you that you're here, that you're with us. You're not absent. You're not far. You're near. You're close. You can be found as we seek after you. And so we thank you that you're here with us today. God, we thank you for what you want to do in and through us today. And we thank you for the power of your word. God, your word has the power to transform us in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is in the boat and they're on their way to the other side and a storm comes and the disciples wake Jesus in the middle of the storm. Jesus is asleep in the storm and they say, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? And then Jesus like sees the wind and just says quiet. You know, casually just says quiet to the storm, that everything stops. And then he questions the disciples' faith. And he says, why, you know, where's your faith? Why have you got so little faith? And then it says the disciples began to see another side of who Jesus was. They were amazed. They were in awe of who he was. And they began to question, who is this God? Who is this Jesus? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? And I wanted to share, I guess, today, as we're heading into 2020, I've just been taking some time to reflect on 2019. Anyone like to do that? Anyone? Is anyone a planner and you like to like get the calendar ready and get things sorted out? Who's like a last minute person? Like, you know, you're leaving for Europe tomorrow and you're packing like 30 minutes before. Anyone like that? Okay. And so there's always a mix. Often in any marriage, there's a planner. There's a last minute person. It's a match made in heaven. Okay. So as a measurer and a non-measurer. Okay. We had this discussion this week. Emily likes to not measure when she cooks. It's like a bit of this, bit of that, bit of, does anyone else get stressed by that? It's like how, even if you discover some amazing recipe, how you ever, I've got a chef shaking his head right now. Exactly. That's what I'm doing. I'm shaking my head, but I don't cook. So anyway, I can't really judge. And the food's always amazing. Okay. But anyway, so I'm digging myself back out. All right, okay. But I wanted to share today a bit about even our journey this year, because I've been taking some time to reflect on 2019 and prepare for what God wants to do in 2020. And you know, this year has been in many ways quite amazing. Like as a church community, if we were to come and stand in this building 12 months ago, there would be no one here at this time right now. This would be empty. And the start of the year, 2019, on Feb 10, we launched this location, Brisbane North, a little over 18 months ago. 18 adults gathered together for the first time to begin to pray and believe and plan that God would lead us to the right place and would open the opportunity for us as a church to plant a church that's going to bring life to people. And so 18 months ago, there was 18 adults and we got together at our place and we just talked together and prayed together. That was our launch team. And over those few months, we saw that team grow and different people became and joined the journey. And now over 200 people would call, including kids, would call our church, Life Church, home on the north side to see what God has done in the last 12 months, really, or less than 12 months since we've launched in February. It's quite amazing. And in fact, to think that I'm praying and believing, let's pray and believe together that before we turn one, that we're going to be in our brand new building. Before we turn one, before February 10 next year, we've got a building, we're working with council right now, we're waiting on the final approval to go in and take a hold of it. We get the keys this week. So on the 11th this week, we get the keys to the building. And we are believing in faith that by Feb 10, maybe for our first birthday, we're going to have a huge birthday party. There'll be enough cake to feed Australia, okay? And we're going to really celebrate. So look at what God has done. This year has been amazing. Who knows when you set out into a year? You never really fully know as much as you plan what God is going to do. You know, you never fully know what's going to happen. You never fully know what's around the corner. You never can fully plan, even though as much as we like to feel like we're in control, for the control freaks here, as much as we feel like we're in control, we actually are never fully in control. We're never really in control. And this year I was up in this like bushland forest, like filming for our Vision Sunday. And I was there with a few other guys and about 6 billion mosquitoes. And I was like, you know, with those days where you rid like your entire face, like even your tongue. I don't know if that's good for you, but you know, it's just like there's mosquitoes everywhere. And we were filming for our vision weekend. This would have been, you know, it's the start of the year. And Emily texts me and said, I need to speak to you ASAP or something like that. And I thought, oh man, that's not good. You know, like, what have I done? No, just kidding. No, I was like, you know, this doesn't sound good. I need to talk. Are you alone? I need to talk to you as soon as you can. And I said, I'm not alone. I'm filming. I'll call you as soon as I can. And so I called her just quickly in a break, and she didn't sound sad. Like I was expecting something bad has happened. She didn't sound sad. She sounded kind of happy, but I said, I can't really talk right now. I'm filming. I'll call you when I'm in the car. So I got in the car later on and mosquitoes were gone. And there was actually a bit of red in my mouth. And I rang her back and she said, I went to the doctors today. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, whoa, okay. That's a surprise. And then she's like, and it's twins. And I was like, I'm going to call you back. All right. And who knows that sometimes as a man, you just need some time alone, like just you and Jesus. Okay. And so I called her back. And I'm like, I couldn't even say anything. I was just like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. I think that's all I kept saying. Wow. Okay, wow. And then we're meant to be going to America next year. And so I straight away said, or was it going to be this year? I can't remember. Anyway, whatever. And I said, we're going to have to find like someone to like babysit and come with us. Like Emily's like, is that the first thing you're saying? Anyway. And so we go to the doctor and the hospital and you know, twins. And if you know my wife, Emily, you know that she's been praying since she was like about 5 to have twins, right? So, you know, she has just been, this has been a dream of her life to have twins. And so when we were pregnant with Israel, he's our eldest. Emily was bitterly disappointed when we had the first scan and we found out that it was just one baby, you know? And she was basically like to the doctor, like, scan again, you know, like, look again. There's going to be two. Like, I've been praying, you know? And it was like, no, just one. And, you know, so every pregnancy was like, you know, please God be twins. And so she was obviously really excited. We were both really, really excited. And for those of us that, you know, probably have been a part of our church this year and we've been so loved on, obviously that journey didn't go exactly the way we planned for that to go. We after a number of weeks, about 17 weeks, we found out that our girls had a rare condition called TTTS. We're not going to go into it now, but it affects the placenta. And Emily had to have surgery and all these different things. And they had to laser the placenta and try and fix it. And actually all the surgery went really, really well. And there's a series of miracles to even get to that point. We basically were told to abort one of our girls. And so we just left the hospital and we didn't go back. And we decided to just go and find another hospital. And so we found another hospital and God led us to some of the best specialists in Australia. And an incredible, you know, really turn of events. God led us all the way through. So we had surgery and it was successful and everything was healthy and great. And we went to a routine scan one day and our specialist was scanning and just knew straight away something was wrong. And she turned to us and she said, I'm so sorry, I can't find a heartbeat for Arabella, one of our girls, about 23 weeks old. And it was, if you've ever been in a situation like that before, you'll know, like, it's like the pause button has been pushed on your life. Everything stops. It's like, there's not even any, it's like, it's not even reality. Like, what's even happening right now in this moment? And when that happens to you in a hospital, you find out one of your babies is passed away. They take you to a room, like a counseling room where you get to sit there by yourself for a while. And they bring people in and they try and help you as much as they can. But who knows that in moments like that, as much as people want to help, nothing's really going to help. And so we walked this journey this year. You know, really the little Evelyn's on the front row. She's asleep. She's not even. She just always sleeps when I preach. But anyway, she's our miracle baby. because she's the baby that the doctor said wouldn't survive. You need to terminate her. You need to abort her life. And so, you know, she's a miracle. God's given us a miracle. So I'm not standing here today to say, you know, hey, feel sorry for me. But, you know, us along with others in our church community this year, we've walked through some storms. We've walked through some stuff this year. And as I've been reflecting on this concept of God with us, I wanted to share from a bit of our story this year around how we've experienced that God is actually with us. That no matter what you're going through today, that you need to know that God is actually with you in the storm. See, the first thing we realize is that God is with you no matter what is going on in your life. God is with you in the storm. You see, the disciples were in the boat and the boat was in the storm, but there was someone else in the boat with them that was more powerful than the storm that was on the outside of the boat. And friend, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what storm you're facing, if you're facing a storm right now, you need to know that God is with you. If you faced challenges this year, if you faced things in your life, you need to know that God is with you in the storm. And one of the things that can happen when you face a storm in life, when you face a challenge in life, when things come against you, even when we make mistakes and it's our fault, there are storms in life that, who knows, there's storms in life that we create sometimes. There are storms in life sometimes that by our own stupidity, by our own foolishness, or when we try and do our own thing and we kind of walk away from God's plan and we try and figure things out on our own, that we can sometimes even create storms for ourselves. But often in life, the storms come and we have no control over the storm. We didn't do anything to cause the storm. The disciples are in the boat. They're on the way to the other side. You do realize that Jesus was the one that put them in the boat. Jesus was the one that sent them off on the mission to the other side. They weren't rebelling against God. They weren't doing something bad. They were actually doing something good. Do you know, this year, I've realized that so many times we can be doing something great for God and on the way we can face a storm. And one of the things we can be tempted to do, and one of the accusations that can come when we face a storm, is that we're facing a storm because God's not with us, or because you're not good enough, or you've done something wrong. Now, sometimes we need to observe our life and say, God, is there anything in my life that's causing this problem? But sometimes we face storms not because of anything we've done, but simply because we're facing a storm and we're in a broken, fallen world and we're facing storms. And there's been someone that's come out recently in the media, a prominent Christian who's come out and said that the bushfires and all the things that are happening in Australia, it's God's judgment on our nation for the decisions we've made. And when I saw that in the paper, I was brokenhearted. Because if you look at the cross at Calvary, what we need to recognize about the cross, what we need to recognize about Jesus on the cross, is that Jesus went to the cross to take all of God's judgment for our sin upon him. God didn't leave any bit of extra reserve judgment for later on, but Jesus took, because otherwise what we're saying is that the cross wasn't enough. If we're saying God's judging this and God's judging that, what we're saying is that God's judgment on Jesus wasn't enough. So friend, you need to know that when you face a storm, it's not God's judgment. If you're facing a sickness right now, friend, I've heard people say, you know, God's judging you. It's not God's judgment. The storms we face can just be a result of all the brokenness and all the sin in our world. But friend, you need to know Jesus never sends the storm. He never sends the storm. And so we learned this year that, you know, that God is with us in the middle of the storm. Maybe you're facing a storm right now. God's with you in the middle. God's with you in the storm. Listen to this scripture. This is what we're celebrating this month in John 1, verse 14. It says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." This scripture is saying that Jesus came and dwelt among us, and he was full of unfailing love. That means God's love towards you never fails. God's with you, and no matter what storm you're facing right now, God is with you. No matter what challenge you're facing right now, God is with you. No matter how difficult 2019 may have felt or may have been, God is with you. No matter how amazing this year has been, God is with you. No matter what's coming up over the hill, over into January 2020, as we come into a new year, you need to know that God is with you, friend. He is with you. And the message of Christmas is that God is not absent. He's not removed, but he's with us. But the second thing we learned this year, I believe, is that we learned that Jesus, he's not only with us, but he's also using, he's going to use everything for my good and his glory. Jesus can turn every situation in your life around for your good and his glory. Listen to this scripture in Romans 8:28. It says this, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. What a great, what an encouraging scripture. I mean, there's some scriptures that are confusing, but this scripture is an encouraging scripture, right? We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Those who love God and called according to his purpose. This year, I think I've realized that it's not the storms that disqualify us in life. I think sometimes we rule ourselves out because we've faced a storm, something's going on. You know, it's actually not the storms that disqualify us. The only thing that disqualifies us, see, a few years ago, our son Israel, he was in his first race at school, first ever running race, okay? And Sean's laughing, he was there. And so he was in his running race and he'd never been like, I think it was prep, so never really done a race before. I think he missed like the practice thing or whatever. Anyway, he'd never been in a race. He'd played tiggy, he'd run a lot, but not been in a race, okay? So they start off and everyone's excited and the gun goes and all the boys run and I'm watching from one side of the oval and they have to run around this massive oval once. That was all they had to do and finish, okay? And I'm watching them run across and then I see Israel begin to look across the oval and see the finish line on this side, right? And then the next thing I'm chatting with someone and I look back and the next thing I know, my son is halfway across the oval, running through the center of the oval to be the first one to get to the finish line, right? And he's thinking, all these other suckers are running all the way around there. I'm running just straight across. Why is no one else doing this, right? And so he gets to the finish line only to find out that he's been disqualified. I don't think they use those words. I think they were a little bit more kind, okay? But you can't do that in a race. That's not according to the rest of the spirit of the game. That's not according to the rules. So because you didn't run that way, you did. I'm so sorry, buddy. You haven't come first as excited as you may be, okay? Or creative or innovative as you may be. You're not first. And I've found in life that it's not the storms that disqualify us, but it's the way we respond to the storms. It's the way we respond to the disappointment. It's the way we respond when we could take offense. It's the way we respond when we lose that job or things don't go our way or that relationship breaks down or someone does something rude to us or someone cuts us off in the car park at Chermside in the lead up to Christmas, okay? And yesterday I was cut off. Oh, actually, I wasn't cut off. I was just driving and I realized there was this lady and she was not in a happy mood. She was giving like sort of signals from her car that she was angry. You know, who knows what I'm talking about? And it was so funny because I'd actually driven out of a park and if she'd stopped swearing and abusing me, she would have realized that I actually wasn't doing anything. I was just leaving the shopping center and there was a free park right there. But anyway, but who knows? It's not the things that happen to us in life that actually disqualify us from the race, because Paul says we're all running a race. We should run in a way that we should win. But listen, it's not the things that happen to us that disqualify us. In fact, God uses those things to qualify us. It's actually the way we respond when things don't go our way. It's the way we respond when things don't go our way. And I just want to encourage people because, you know, the storm that you've faced or you're facing or you will face, it's not the thing that's going to disqualify you from the promise and the purpose and the plan of God for your life. But this scripture in Romans 8:28, it's been like an anchor point for us this year. Because it talks about, we love quoting this scripture, God's going to work it together for good. But there is something to this verse that I think we too quickly skip over. It says God's going to cause everything to work for good. God is actually going to use the circumstances, the painful moments in your life. And Emily and I have seen this year. The amount of people that God has ministered to and spoken to and encouraged, and the amount of opportunity that Emily, through her writing, has been able to impact, and people that have contacted her back, and people that have come to church as a result of what's gone on in our life this year. Listen, God will use things together for your good and for His glory. But look at what this scripture says. It's for those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. See, I've found that it's not just enough to walk through a storm, but we need to stay connected to God, and we need to stay connected to His purpose. We need to stay connected to purpose. See, when a player gets injured on a field, they go into a rehabilitation program with the goal of getting back on the field. See, it's not an injury that disqualifies you from the purpose of God. It's how you respond when you get hurt. It's how you respond when things don't go your way. And see, too often, I think when it comes to following Jesus, we disqualify ourselves by removing ourselves. See, if a football player was injured on the field and goes back into rehabilitation, they get rehabilitated, they go and they get surgery and they get a shoulder reconstruction and they go back, on a reduced training program, then they get back to the gym and they do all those things so that they can get back on the field and get smashed again, right? That's why they do it, right? It's to get back in the game and get back into what they've been called and created to do. And it's the same for you and I. There's too many people that through a storm, through the pain of a storm, we easily disqualify ourselves. We say, I don't want to get back in the game because I might get hurt again. I might get tackled again. But guess what? We're created to live on purpose. We're not created to live on the sideline of life. We're created to live in the game. We're created to step into the plan and the purpose that God has for us. And some of us today just need to be encouraged that God is going to use the things that have happened in your life for your good and for His glory. But it's only as we stay connected to God and stay connected to purpose. And I just think it looks like three things. I think it looks like the presence of God, that we stay connected to the presence of God, that we recognize that Jesus is with us in the boat, that we stay connected to the purpose of God, that we don't pull back from being involved. We don't pull back from serving others and we don't pull back from our God purpose in life. And I actually think it's also the people of God. It's the presence of God, the purpose of God, and the people of God. We need people that are going to help cheer us into all that God has for us. We need people that are going to speak faith and hope and life into us again. And, I've just discovered this year that, again, afresh, that it's not need or hurt or pain that ultimately moves the heart of God, but it's faith. It's faith. Look at this scripture in Romans 10, 17. It says this, so faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Jesus. And as the band come, we're going to just take a moment in a couple of moments to worship God and to sing that song that we've been singing this morning, King of Kings. And we're just going to take a moment to pray for people. I believe that God wants to, restore and heal this morning, that there's people in this part of our church community and you have faced a storm this year. And it would be easy for you to allow the things that have happened to you to define who you are. But I've just discovered this year, when we go through a storm or when we go through a season of uncertainty, for some of us heading into 2017, there are things that are uncertain. Welcome to life, by the way. Okay. But there is 2020. What did I say? 2017. Okay. No, 2020. I don't know why I said that. 2020. So 10-17. So anyway. But we discovered in this season, we don't need to have all the answers. What we need is faith. We don't need all the answers, but we need a faith. See, sometimes we think, I'll have faith when I have all the answers. But guess what? We'll never have all the answers. Even when we think we have all the answers, we still don't have all the answers. So Jesus calls us not to live by our natural senses, but to live by faith. It's to live by faith. And so this morning, I want in a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing this song just for a couple of moments. We're going to worship God. And, you know, we Emily and I, through this journey, we'd have to go to the hospital, and the first hospital we were at, it was just a really negative environment. It was just not a great experience. And we'd go to the hospital, and every time we'd go, we'd be given more bad news, right? Can anyone relate to that? It's like you just go and it's just more bad news, more bad news. Maybe it's like this year has just been, every week you think things can't get worse and then they do. Or maybe this year it's been amazing, but we all face things in life where, see, the problem with a boat in a storm is not the storm, it's when the storm gets into the boat, right? So the boat's fine as long as there's no water in the boat. Who knows, once the boat is full of water, it's not a boat anymore, okay? So once the boat is full of water, you're sunk, okay? But when you're in the middle of a storm and you're in the boat and there's no water in the boat, it might be a bit rocky, it might be a bit scary, but you're going to be okay. And I actually love the fact that Jesus was asleep in the storm. I think it's awesome because I think it's an encouragement to all of us to know that when we face storms in life and we find that natural, we have that natural inclination to panic, we need to know that we've got a God who's with us. And listen, He's not panicking. God's not panicking. When you read the Gospels and you find the story where Jesus panics in the storm and starts freaking out, that's when you know it's not going to be good, okay? But Jesus, He is so chill, He is so calm, He is so not threatened by the storms we face in life, that when we're in the storm, He is so not threatened by the storm that He's asleep in the boat. He's like, guys, seriously. So here's the encouragement. Sometimes we go through storms and we feel like God is silent. We feel like God's sleeping. But should Jesus be panicking? Should Jesus be responding the same way we respond to the storm? Isn't the fact that Jesus didn't respond to the storm the same way the disciples, doesn't that point out that He's actually God? And that when they wake Jesus up, don't you care that we drown? Do you notice if they were actually drowning, they wouldn't be talking, by the way, okay? Jesus wouldn't still be, so they're not drowning. And Jesus simply just says one word, just quiet. Quietens the storm. And then questions their faith. And I've discovered that we're not always going to have the answers. We don't need all the answers. What we need is we need the one who has the answers. We need an encounter with Jesus. We don't need more. See, we don't need, so for some of us, we're trying to figure out this next season or this next thing, and we're trying to figure it all out ourselves. And God's coming to us and He's saying, friend, you don't need to figure it all out yourself, because you don't need to have all the answers. You just need to know the one who has the answers. You need to know the one who is the answer. And so if we can just stand to our feet just for a moment, we're going to take a moment. The team are going to lead us in this song. And then we're going to pray. And I just want us to just, there is something so powerful about worship. See, when we face a storm in life, the storms want our attention. And worship is so powerful, because what we're saying when we worship Jesus is we're saying, Jesus, we recognize that You are more powerful than any storm we could face, than any storm I could face. And so just this morning, you know, don't worry about the person next to you or behind you. This is just simply about just having right now a moment where we lift up Jesus. Maybe over 2020, as you head into this next year, you're saying, Jesus, I thank You that You're with me. And we're going to declare this together. So why don't we just lift our hands, let's declare and let's sing this song this morning. We love You, Jesus. We honor You, Jesus.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven